We are going to begin Pirkei Avot, chapters, teachings of our fathers, and we will attempt to do a Mishnah day. Today we'll give a little introduction to Pirkei Avot, which is a collection, six chapters, a collection of the sayings of the great sages of the Mishnah and the Talmud that spanned a number of generations, quite a few hundred years. And each of these great sages, great luminaries and teachers in the Jewish people, besides leaving a legacy of Torah scholarship, were also saintly people and great people, and each lived with a dictum and a motto in life with which they were able to achieve their spiritual greatness. And we, as their children, grandchildren, and continuers of their teachings, we would like to be inspired and learn from their life ways, from their lifestyle, from what guided them, what helped them climb the mountain. And so each of them had a particular emphasis on character perfection. The sages tell us, Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah, which means good character. Kodmo LaTorah comes before Torah. First and foremost, we need to be a mensch, because Torah, God's wisdom, godliness, doesn't stick to us unless we assume divine traits, godly traits, good traits, unless we perfect the character and make a receptacle for Torah to stick. After all, Torah is an intimate connection with God. We understand that although there are many mitzvahs in the Torah, the supreme mitzvah, the primary mitzvah, the most important mitzvah that rises above all the other mitzvahs is the study of Torah. As the Mishnah tells us, V'salmud Torah keneged kulam, the study of Torah supersedes everything. And of course, in our minds, that's a difficult thing for us to grasp. Because when we visit the sick, or we gladden the hearts of a bride and groom, or we give charity, it tickles our conscience. We feel good. We feel fulfilled. And when we study Torah, it's laborious. It's sometimes difficult. We don't feel that internal inspiration. And yet, the sages tell us that the study of Torah is the most important mitzvah. Why is that? We've explained this in the past. But to understand this, we have to view our relationship with our Creator, our relationship with God, something akin in the material world to the relationship between a husband and a wife. As King Shlomo, King Solomon, describes the relationship of a husband and wife in Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. And he describes it in vivid detail, which is really metaphoric of our relationship with God. And just like the true depth, the litmus test with which we can determine the depth of a relationship between a husband and wife, the depth of that bond, has everything to do with the interest that I have in what my wife's center of values are, not what mine are, is. Any relationship, if I have it with someone else, if it's merely something, if the relationship is predicated on what's in it for me, you're going to service me in such and such a way, so I will smile to you and I'll be nice to you and I'll even give you things, but in the back of my mind I anticipate kickbacks, not much of a relationship. The true depth of a relationship, the absolute bond, comes when there's an element of selflessness. And that selflessness is demonstrated in by my interest in what is important to you. In fact, the real relationship with anyone else is not a physical relationship. It's a relationship of the mind. Intellect. The same word in Hebrew for intimacy, physical intimacy, is the word for knowledge. Das is knowledge. V'ha'adam yada es chava ishtei. And Adam knew and was intimate with his wife. Same word. Because the depth of a relationship is only as meaningful, physical connection is only as meaningful as there is intercourse of the mind and understanding of one another. And to understand someone else's mind, I have to suspend my mind and surrender to the other person's mind. We've talked about this in the past, that God made man and woman so different that when a man comes home and a woman asks him, he's had a hard day at work, lots of problems that he's confronted, and his wife asks him, she just came home from the mall and she bought some patent leather shoes with a gold buckle, and she's asking him, does the gold buckle match the bow in my hair? And he wants to say, you know, come on, jump in the lake. Does this, what stupid difference does it make? But you know what? He has to surrender himself and completely submit himself to his wife's set of values and mindset. That is a true bond, a connection of the mind. The Torah is God's wisdom, it's God's mind. It doesn't have to have practical application to me. When I'm learning in the yeshiva, it doesn't have to be the inspirational stuff that I'm studying. I'm studying a piece of Talmud, and it's talking about one ox goring another ox, and I'm thinking, man, I'm never going to own an ox. I don't want to know all this stuff. It's too complex. It's too arcane. It doesn't relate to my life. But you know what? Hashem, God, wrote this in the Torah, and this is the way He planned the world. This is the architectural blueprint, and He wants me to give, He's giving me the opportunity, He's giving me a portal into His mind to understand His mind and to bond with Him. Torah, the study of God's mind and the study of God's will, as expressed in the Torah, is a journey of bonding and connecting with God in the most intimate way, intercourse of the mind. But that is only as meaningful as I prepare my body for the marriage. As I prepare and tame my instincts and my ego and good character and perfect myself, because that's as meaningful as the relationship really is. If I don't share God's values, if I marry a woman and I am a diehard liberal and she's a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, she is on one side of the spectrum, I'm on the other. You know, we can bond, we can connect, but we're on different wavelengths. If she's a particularly sensitive and kind person, and I, God forbid, am a particularly cruel and sadistic person, and I believe that that's the way we have to act with other people, then we can try and relate in the mind. But there's no sink. I'm a Windows and she's Macintosh. There's no possibility of connecting. My body is not in sync with hers. It doesn't, won't work. And similarly, the Torah, the sages tell us, Derech Eretz, Kodma LaTorah. Good character precedes, it's the prelude, it's what is necessary to be able to digest, to ingest God's wisdom, to be able to connect and tune, fine-tune the wavelength of the mind. We have to have a similar, we have to have a good body, we have to tame the body and the instinct. So all the great sages that are mentioned in the Mishnah and the Talmud, spanning hundreds of years, all of them were particularly saintly characters, great men, and they attained their greatness in Torah only by virtue of being particularly great in character. And they left a legacy of not only Torah, but their good characteristics for future generations. They told us exactly what was the raison d'etre, what was their primary spiritual goals with which they were able to achieve their greatness. Each of them in a different way, because you can't emphasize everything in life. Can only emphasize particular characteristics, but in that we can gain perfection and thereby get a handle on ourselves in a very, very special way. That's really what Pirkei Avos is about, and it's called Pirkei Avos, Teachings of the Fathers, because the sages tell us, Ma'asei Avos Simon Lebanim, the deeds of the fathers are a signpost to the children. And this is very important. When we read, and the Torah devotes so much space and length to the deeds of our forefathers, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And we wonder, why is there so much discussion about their lives and their personal lives and their deeds and their accomplishments? Why don't we get to the nitty-gritty? The Torah is a handbook for life and it's telling me how to conduct myself. Why don't we talk more about that? And the sages tell us, Ma'aseh Avos, the deeds of our forefathers, simon are a sign, labanim, to the children. What does that mean? We know if we analyze our genetic makeup, we will find invariably that we are predominantly similar to either our father or our mother. Sometimes we will find traces of both. We'll find things that inherently we are similar to our father, similar to our mother. There are instincts within us that we can trace even to grandparents. Sometimes you'll find something, you know, I find in my own life, I'm so similar to my father. I even like the same foods. I even do instinctively things, looking at it now, that he used to do, which are so little minutia of life. You know, I keep the rubber bands on the blinker stick of my car. You know, I don't know why I do it. My dad did it. I don't even do it because my dad did it. It's just an instinctive response to life in the slightest, in the smallest detail. It's embedded somewhere in my DNA. I hope I have some good character traits from my mom. She was a very special lady. God bless her soul. But I can see, I can identify character traits up the line. I heard stories of my great-grandfather, I can see some similarities there. The Talmud tells us that it's possible to identify in our behavior patterns characteristics up the generational chain until 10 generations. So much so that the Talmud tells us that if someone has something not so good in their background up to 10 generations, don't bring it up to the children. Because till 10 generations, we're still sensitive to the impurities and imperfections of earlier generations. It's still there within us. Fascinating. We can't detect that, even if we are super psychologists and we have insights into earlier generations. But we could see parents and grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents a little bit. But till 10 generations, it's detectable. After 10 generations, it's not discernible. We are our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. That's who genetically we are. But the Talmud tells us that there are some grandparents that we have that their character traits are so embedded in our genetic fabric that it transcends the generational gap. And it doesn't matter if it's hundreds of thousands of years, we will still be able to identify those genetic characteristics of great, 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 great grandpa. Who is that? Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Because they so re-engineered their genetic makeup that their character will transcend the generational gap. It goes over. And when it's reinforced, those characteristics that they acquired, Rachmanim, mercy, Baishanim, bashfulness, Jewish guilt, every Jew, full of guilt. Jewish guilt, great thing, Jewish guilt, busha. It means we sense the vibrations of the conscience. And when our body is not acting in sync with those vibrations, it's painful. Whew. We Jews have a high conscience level. Big souls vibrating inside of us. All comes from Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. The gomle chasadim, kind deeds, most philanthropic. Love to do good and kind. Spearheading always social change. Trying to better the world around us, Jews. That is from Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and that transcends the generational gap. And any time where through the generations that is enhanced and reinforced by the greats of each generation, that goes over because it's a reinforcement of our essential genetic makeup, and that moves on. It's important for us to know when grandparents acquired great character traits, that they are embedded within our genes and we can attain and achieve them because they're an essential part of us. We have princely blood flowing in our veins. It's important to know that we have good characteristics right there. And so therefore, all we need to do is sift away all the rubble and all the sediment, and we can acquire them. They're there, they're latent beneath the surface. They may not be easily discernible, but they're there. Ma'asei Avos, the deeds of our forefathers, simen, it's a sign, it's an arrow, labanim, to the children. So when we hear of good characteristics of earlier generations, instead of just saying, they were great men, what we're supposed to say is, we can be great men. That's what we're really supposed to say, because what it means is that we have those elements, those character elements within us. These are our forefathers. One of the saddest things to me is, really sad, I've said this before, it really bothers me, when we came to this country, and we were embraced by the wonderful democratic freedoms of America. America was a melting pot, and we all came here. But it created almost like a wall, a curtain, to our Eastern European roots. And hundreds of years of our ancestry, all of a sudden, were relegated to an attic box, a few pictures. But there was almost like a closed book because we were sucked into the vortex of a completely different society, a different set of values. And we were busy trying to transition from being greenhorns into being full-fledged Americans. And everything that took place beforehand all of a sudden took on a totally different attitude. We had a totally different attitude to grandparents and great-grandparents. They represented a world gone by. And we lost touch to a rich chain of great, great people that endured so much to maintain their faith and maintain their values. Great character. Sometimes I look at the faces of, you know, on our wall in the house, we have all our great, as much as we have pictures of, great grandparents. I have a picture of my great, great grandfather on both sides. And there's so much expression, there's so much depth on that face. There's such regality, there's such insight. Looking at those faces, you could see they endured so much. It's almost a closed book because there's very little that we can really gauge from what their lives were all about. Whatever we can scrape together, very valuable. And it's valuable to me to hang it on the wall because it's a signpost to my children. I'm just handing over the legacy from earlier generations and passing it on to the next. We're just intermediaries. We're all part of a chain. I don't want to be a weak link in the chain because the chain is as strong as its weakest link. I want to continue. I may look different than them. I may have totally different life circumstances. And it may be if we would meet one another, we wouldn't even be able to converse. But I love them. I love them because who I am is who they are. Their deeds and their greatness is embedded in my genes. The Talmud says, "Bra karadavur." A son is the essence of a father. We're the essence of our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers, 10 generations. But the Talmud says, our great-great, the avot, the fathers that were really the predecessors, they re-engineered our genes. That's who I am. I have a little touch of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right inside of me. And that's why the sages tell us, each of us, it's incumbent upon us to say, Masai yagiu, masai lamasai avosai, when can my deeds touch, resemble the deeds of my forefathers? Because there's a little bit of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob inside of me. Grandpa, I can't really call him Grandpa because he's so great, it's hard to call him Grandpa. But he was! You know, we look at them as some nomadic tribal chiefs somewhere in the desert way back when. Time really. Time is a finite creation. What's time? Is there any real difference between a year or 1,000 years? Yeah. In my mind, of course, I'm programmed to see a year and 1,000 years as 1,000 times more. It's only because I'm programmed that way. Time really is a finite creation. Time is one of the limitations within which we have to operate. We're created within that limitation. Time is something, you know, what's 1,000 years relative to infinity, relative to eternity? It's nothing. 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, it could be yesterday. I have to take out that time barrier and look at Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, Grandpa Abram, Grandpa Isaac, Grandpa Jacob, because they are essentially who I am. And so the Mishnah, before it talks about the deeds of these great sages of the Mishnah and of the Talmud, before we're introduced to their lives and they give us insights as to what their motto in life was, we call all of this collection of Mishnayos Pirkei Avos, the sayings, the chapters of the fathers. Because we have to know these were our fathers. And what they accomplished and what their lives reflected is not so distant from us. We're on the same screen. It's not a different radar screen. It's the same screen, because who they are is who we are. It's fine. We continue their legacy. Yes?
Well, the idea that your essence is related to the essence of your family, isn't that a double-edged sword? Because on the one hand, you could have great humanitarians in your family bloodline, as well as people who maybe didn't do so great.
Absolutely.
And so then that therefore affects you and maybe makes it difficult for you, or, I mean, how does that work?
It's very important for me to know where my grandparents slipped up and where my parents slipped up, so that I can overcome their shortcomings. That's also important. I'm not deterred. I'm glad. When I know where my father slipped up and what my foibles are, I love it. It gives me the whole picture of who I am. Now I can better chart my personal mission in life. That's okay. I'm not scared. Some people think ignorance is bliss. And if your dad was some kind of Al Capone, you want to hide it in the closet. I don't. That's okay. Let me know who I am. Let me know with what strengths and shortcomings I was created, so I can know what God you want from me, because that's all I want to do. I just want to live who I'm supposed to be. I want to be someone else. But I'm glad that I have to counterbalance all those negative elements that are within me. I'm glad I have a lot of positive characteristics so I can work with them. King David said, if a war comes up against me, if I feel internally a lot of negative characteristics and I got a big battle to play in life, that's a sign, God, that you trust me. That's great. You're giving me a big mission. That's okay. That doesn't put me down. All the greats, and I see this all the time, the people with the greatest talents, the people with the greatest energies, the people with the greatest potential, always face the greatest challenges. Lowest self-confidence. I would say I am amazed. Sometimes people have such incredible heavenly gifts and they think they're good for nothing. Because it's like precious metals. The more precious it is, the deeper it's going to be dug underneath the ground. Very easy to extract coal, surface mining. Better coal, anthracite, is a little bit deeper. Silver's a little harder. Gold, a little harder to mine. Platinum, very... Diamonds, it's encrusted in rocks. It's really hard to extract. That's the way it is. We all have diamonds underneath the surface, but it's just hard to extract. But we've got to know that the diamond's there, otherwise we ain't going to drill. So that's what this mission is really telling us. When we're reading of the great deeds of our sages and our forefathers, instead of thinking of them as something distant, as just an interesting and inspiring history book, we need to recognize that this is emblematic of who we are. These are signposts for who we are. Pirkei Avot, these are our forefathers. And that's what we're going to be doing. Each day we're going to be doing a Mishnah a day. The prelude to the Mishnah is, we're going to just read the preamble, which is a selection from a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It's the introduction to Pirkei Avos. We're not going to go into it in great depth, but I'm going to just explain the theme. This is the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Let's just read it. Kol Yisrael, you see, each perek of the six, each chapter of the six chapters has this introduction to it. And it's a Mishnah which bases itself on a verse in Yeshaya. And the Mishnah tells us a very important introduction to Pirkei Avos. You know, in life we may often think that it is a waste of time. It's just no good. We're doomed from the beginning. Waste of time. We were just born with such rotten character. We just can't make it. That's the easiest thing to do. You know, when life gets tough, when I tell my kids, I tell one of them, you know what? It's 8 o'clock and you didn't do your homework. Why didn't you do your homework? Come on! It's late! And they say to me, I can't. So I say, what do you mean you can't? Don't tell me you can't. You don't want to. Don't tell me you can't. You can, you just don't want to. So they say to me, no, I can't. I just can't. I can't do it. So I say, yeah, like everything else you can't do. You didn't sweep the floor after supper. You were supposed to sweep the floor, and you didn't put away the plates, and you didn't put away your toys. It's just laziness. And they say to me, that's right. I didn't put away the toys. I'm a good for nothing. Okay, I just can't do it. Right? That's all our attitude very often when things get tough and difficult. What do we say? I can't. There's no way. We're all assigned a big mission in life. Working on our character, working on our ego, is massive. Big job. And the easiest thing to say is, God, I'm doomed. I'm no good. I'm not going to make it anyway. The first thing that we have to know is that our internal GPS is set at the end destination in life, all of us. We all are en route to a great destination. We're all capable, our wire is strung to the end, and we're capable of tightrope walking all the way to the end. We can all get there. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. Every single Jew has a portion in the world to come. Essential, fundamental to life, to engaging life, to embracing life. You can never give up. Because as low as we may fall, it doesn't make a difference. As many times as we slip up, we're all en route to Olam Haba. Each and every one of us has an essential soul inside of us that reflects our essence and our eternity. The body may be put back in the grave and may go where it came from, and it may disintegrate back into earth, but the soul is going to live on and on and on, and the soul is part of God, and it's going to journey back slowly but surely and laboriously all the way back to its source until it lives in eternal bliss as part of God's heavenly throne. Wondrous life, blissful life, intimacy with God. Incredible. We have no idea of how delightful that world to come really is. But every one of us is going to make that journey back. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. So it's worth investing the effort and the energy here. We're not allowed to give up. We can't give up. That's the first thing that we have to establish before we begin our journey and our pathway in character development. Kol Yisrael, let's read the words inside. Kol Yisrael, every single Jew, every single person in essence, but here we're referring to every Jew, yesh lahem chelek, has an integral portion, la'olam haba, to the world to come. We're all en route to the world to come. That's where the soul is going to be magnetically pulled towards, and it's going to be moving in that direction continuously. Shenema, it's a verse. The Prophet tells us, this is uncontestable, Va'amech kulam tzadikim, Va'amech, and your people, every single one of us has within us an element of tzadik. Kulam, all of us are tzadikim. There's a part of us. You know, we all do things wrong. We all err. But even when we're doing something that's really bad, there's a little voice inside of us that says, I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. This isn't really me. I know this isn't really right, but I'm doing it anyway. But I don't feel so good about it. And those pangs of guilt are the pings and the vibrations of the conscience, because internally, at our core, we are a tzaddik. La'olam yeshu aretz, everyone ultimately will inherit the land to come, the world to come. Netzah matai, they are a branch of my planting. They're part of God. Ma'aseh yadai, their body is the handiwork of my hands, lehispoer, with which I take pride. In other words, each and every one of us, we have to hold our heads high, because we are a reflection of the divine presence. We have godliness inside of us, and we can all attain the great heights. Somewhere, somehow, we can reflect the great heights that are going to be talked about in the chapters and the Mishnayos to come. Big chizuk. That's a lot of inspiration there, right there. But we know it's not something that's distant, that's off the radar screen, what we're going to learn about. It's all attainable, and in some level we can incorporate it in our day-to-day lives. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful day. And a good chodesh. I forgot to bring in the l'chaim. Every